Hey, Bob the VP here, and welcome to Woo Dev Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Today's show is brought to you by Hostinger. Whether you are a small or large agency or a freelancer, learn more about their Woo and WordPress hosting options at hostinger.com. And Avalara, if you have clients who sell in the EU or UK, make sure they know about cross-border and international selling with their Avatax, which you can find on the Woo Marketplace. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but grab your favorite beverage as we dive into the end of the year Woo Dev Chat with Zach and Carl. And to be honest, when I let these two loose for an hour, I'm not even going to try and summarize our conversation. I was even reluctant to ask ChatGPT as well, because it might be filled with hallucinations. So instead, sit back and enjoy this last Dev Chat for the year.
Welcome to another Do the Woo Dev Chat. I'm Zach Stepik, and I'm here again with my esteemed co-host, Carl Alexander. Carl, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's like the holidays, but also it's becoming the age of darkness in Canada. So there's not a lot of light left. So if you suffer from seasonal depression a bit like me, I'm like, oh my God, it's like sunsets at like 4 now. So
it's not far off from that here in Northern Illinois. So
yeah. You're really far north too. So it's probably about the same thing for you, but I always find it challenging at this time of the year, once we're getting close to the winter solstice.
Yeah, once we've done the let's make it, you know, make everything an hour earlier for turning the clocks back, it seems that it's always going to be darker earlier than I want it to, right?
Yeah.
So
we're not gonna get into a DST.
I mean, we could. I'm pretty sure we both have
but I mean, nobody likes it. It's like beating a dead horse at this point.
That's true. So let's move on to other subjects. You were in Japan, now you're home. How was the whole Japan trip?
It's good. I honestly, this is like, if I had to do like my year in review, Japan's awesome. I love Tokyo, basically. That's it. Like, I spent 3 months there this year. It's really kind of wild when I think about it that I spent a quarter of my year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and in Tokyo, I only left Tokyo for 2 days. For my whole time there, and it was to go see the Nippon Series final. So it's like basically the World Series, the Japan equivalent of the World Series finals game. I went to Osaka to see a game of that. So that was like the only trip out of the city that I did.
That sounds like a lot of fun though. Sounds like it would be a great trip.
It was. I'm not a baseball fan, but luckily we got 8 innings of really especially boring. I'm trying to say it's not boring, but it was super boring, basically, especially with my ADHD. And then the last inning was like hype. It was hype. Everybody was like screaming. It was like crazy. And, you know, hits were being made on the ball. It wasn't just like strikeouts and walks. So it was just like, it was good. So that was really exciting. But at the beginning, I was like, wow, that is an expensive trip to see just nothing happen.
Yeah, I have trouble with baseball. I like it more in person than I do like on TV, because at least in person you have some things you can go do, right? You can get some food, you can, you know, have something to drink.
Yeah, exactly. I did that at some point. I spent like half an hour just going in and looking at the baseball food. In Japan is not baseball food in the U.S. Like,
no, I can imagine it's not. And
it's not even close.
I mean, it's probably pretty good, though. Like,
I think the only thing they have, because they're obsessed with KFC over there. So there was a KFC. Actually, the final was Osaka has two teams. So it was Osaka versus Osaka, which never happened. And the Osaka Tigers had this curse on them, which is related to KFC. Basically, they got cursed because when the, I forget the whole story, but they threw a statue of the colonel into a river, and basically they couldn't get it back, and the team was cursed since then. Like, I'm probably messing up the whole story, but basically they thought they were cursed because they threw this KFC statue and this colonel statue into the river in Osaka.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of funny. So they called it the colonel's curse.
I mean, I've had that a few times.
They hadn't won since that they'd done that. And then they won, and they threw a guy disguised as a colonel into the river. So we were like, you're playing with fire. Like,
oh, yeah.
But they love KFC. There's also like the KFC, like Christmas. Like, that's where people go for Christmas. I don't know the whole story around that, but like, they're obsessed with KFC for Christmas. Like, on Christmas Day, that's what you do. You go to KFC and you get KFC chicken.
Is that kind of like the...
It's a whole thing.
The tradition of after Thanksgiving is over and everything here, we sometimes will order Asian food for dinner that night because it's the only thing open.
No, I didn't know that. I think there's a different reason for that in Japan, basically. I love that. I love Asian food. So it's like,
I do too. Yeah.
But yeah, they're obsessed with KFC over there. It's like, it's crazy. So that's the only thing I think an American would recognize at, they have pizza. But no hot dogs. I don't think they had any hot dogs. So just some pizza.
That's fun.
But you could get a lot of grilled stuff. Like, if you like octopus, you could get octopus on a stick.
I consider octopus to be the best delivery device for wasabi. So.
Okay. Okay. I can believe that.
Anyway.
But yeah, so that was Japan.
That's awesome.
That was my last Japan. Yeah. What about you?
You know, the year has been interesting, right? As most people know, the company that I was working for at the beginning of the year was acquired and then eliminated a whole bunch of positions. And so I left that company in April and then landed at Convesio, which has been fun. You know, it's been a good year overall. I think that I'm happier now than I've been in a long time and where my role is and what I'm doing, which is good. I'm challenged on a daily basis, which is great. I enjoy challenges, right? That's the thing that makes a developer, I believe, is the love of tackling challenges.
Yeah. I mean, I'm now at I just turned 42 this year, so that's, and I have my older developer friends that are like now getting into their grumpy old developer stage of their life, and they don't want to learn anything new. Like, they're just like, why can't we do this the old way? I'm like, you signed up for the wrong field if you don't want things to change, or you could go do COBOL, you know, like, then nothing changes.
The only thing I bought over Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend was a lifetime Laracast subscription. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. Like, one of the things that I really want to talk about, like, next year is, like, ChatGPT. Like, how, like, it affected how I work, how I get information, like, I think Laracast is good, but like, soon, like, I'll just be able to ask, like, I already asked ChatGPT, like, how do I do this? And then it just like writes it all out for me. And it's like usually correct or mostly correct. So I'm just like, it's like a really weird one, but it's good to support people that do all this educational content too. So that's good.
Well, and that was my main reason. You know, Jeffrey Way has worked so hard to build a community and a site around, you know, the Laravel ecosystem, and being a part of that by becoming a lifetime supporter just made sense to me. You know, I firmly believe that, and we'll talk a little bit about predictions later, but I firmly believe that one of my predictions for 2024 will come true, and that is that we will see more people using tools like Laravel alongside WordPress to augment what WordPress can do.
I mean, I think that's already, I mean, that's like half my consulting work is, like, most of my consulting work is doing something that's kind of for WordPress, but with Laravel, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be more prevalent. Like, we're at the forefront, right? We sit at the edge of what people are doing, generally, because I think you and I, we tend to move faster.
Tell me about it. Tell me about serverless and how I'm the only person on the planet that knows how this shit works with WordPress.
You know, you and I tend to move faster than most people. We like to live at the bleeding edge because that's just who we are as people. And I think that we'll start to see the rest of the community start to catch up in that area. So,
yeah. But actually, speaking of grumpy old programmers, I had this thought the other day. Like, I feel like WordPress sometimes is the grumpy old programmer of, like, web development. They're like, why do we have to do this differently? Like, it's worked for us for 20 years. Like, why? Like, you know, like,
why do we need custom tables for orders? I mean, that.
Yeah, exactly. Why can't we just use what we've been using for 20 years? It's worked fine till now. Like, why are you causing so much trouble? You know,
it's just part of our community, right? There's the WordPress way. Right. And that hasn't changed for a long time.
But it's such a contrast. You talk about Laravel, like Laravel is like the complete opposite. They're like, wow, this sounds cool. Like, I don't know what the use of this is yet, but like, let's go. And
yeah, let's do it. Let's build it.
Because they do stuff that most other programming languages don't even do, too. Like, it's just so it's like completely it's such a like two complete opposites, basically, of like, so that's always why it's interesting interacting with both these communities at the same time.
And it's really kind of interesting because both communities have kind of a visionary figurehead, right?
Sure. Let's call it visionary figurehead.
Yeah, I'm trying to be, you know, diplomatic. But Taylor builds so much just crazy stuff constantly. And I mean, all of the Laravel ecosystem grew from this origin of Taylor just creating crazy things that he wanted.
Yeah. Then he doesn't want to maintain it. So he's slowly hiring people to maintain all this stuff that he doesn't want to maintain.
Right. Exactly.
He builds it, launches it, and then he's like, yeah, I'm done here. Like, I'm off to the next shiny.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's great. And the
I know a lot of developers that wish they could do that. So.
And the juxtaposition of that is, you know, we built WordPress and we continue to build WordPress, and we just the new things that we've introduced become points of controversy, right? It's not, oh, look at this shiny new thing I can do really cool stuff with. It's, oh, I want a plugin that disables all this new stuff because I don't want to change.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's pros and cons. Like, I think for Gutenberg, it's like, it's you're allowed to want a different writing experience than what it offers. But yeah.
No, I agree.
But it, like, I mean, even without going into that, like, just like getting optimizations done in the code or just like getting the REST API in, like, it was. Like, that was a, like, now we're like, oh, the REST API, that's the greatest thing ever. Like, we love it. It's like, oh my God, was it a lot of work to get that to, like, get merged in to core? It was just like, it's just a lot of fighting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of, like, pushback, which is, like, good and bad, but it's also, like, you know, you gotta grow.
And part of that is that we're really careful, right, about what we include. We're really careful about what gets put out there, because when you power as much of the internet as we do, which is, you know, over 4 out of every 10 websites, so like it's 4.5 out of every 10 websites now. When you power that much of the internet.
I agree and disagree with that. I feel like the latest 6.4 situation with the request library could have been very much avoided if we just didn't want to reinvent. Because that we go slow and things, but we also loved, like, Core loves to reinvent the wheel, basically, you know?
Well, and I think that was, those changes were important. The thing is that there is not enough currently testing happening on the hosting side.
Well, I mean, testing and, like, Calvin was, I think you saw Calvin, like, it's like, we're giving shit to host, but, like, it's like a 10-year version of curl, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so do we need to examine as a community, is this a problem that we have this 10-year-old version of a core library sitting on servers? Probably. Should we probably do something to update that? Yeah, probably. Do we have a lot of legacy issues in hosting? Yeah, absolutely. There are some hosts that, you know, can't run modern versions of PHP yet because their stack isn't ready for it, right? And that's crazy to me.
Meanwhile, PHP 8.3 just came out.
I saw that. I updated Herd to have PHP 8.3 available. So I've moved from Valet over to Herd, which is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, the native app. It's the same thing, but it's the native app.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, it's been really interesting to see that there are some hosts that are quick to update, and then there are some hosts that are just, they're happy being where they are. You know, they're happy with Memcache. They're happy with, you know, the stack they've been running forever.
Like, Automatic's still a Memcached hosting company. They don't use Redis.
And it seems really interesting that there are some places where they're happy there, and that's great. You know, if they're getting the performance they need and their customers are happy, that's all that really matters, apart from security.
Yeah, I mean, there's the old saying, right? I was a sysadmin. If it works, don't touch it, you know? Like, so I get that. Like, it's really hard to, like, develop, like, a test suite, too, for, like, tech stacks. So, because there's a lot of moving parts, right? Like, unless you're, like, in a Docker container or something like that, like, there's a lot of moving parts to, like, a server machine, so.
Well, and we have a testing suite in the hosting group, but in Make Hosting, we have a testing suite that's been written. But is it perfect? No. And we know that. And there are plans to rebuild it and make it better, and to, you know, provide even more coverage than what's there now. But even that test suite wouldn't have known that a 10-year-old version of curl was going to be an issue, right? So there are areas where we don't have coverage right now, where things like this would be easier to discover if there was an easier to run test suite that every host committed to running every time a release candidate was available, and we were consistent about it. But we're not yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. So that was an interesting part of this year. And just so everybody knows, the point of this episode, now that we're 18 minutes in, is really to just talk about what we have seen and done over the last year. So we're going to take a look at the episodes that we recorded this year a little bit and talk about some of the things that we've discussed. If there was any one theme for the year, I'd have to say it was definitely performance and high performance order storage. We did a lot of talking about HPOS and the rollout of HPOS and what that was going to mean and what it was going to do. But let's go to the start of our year, which our year didn't start till February. But in February, we talked about multi-tenant WooCommerce sites.
Yeah, it was WPCS, and now they're called WildCloud.
WildCloud. So they've gotten a little wild on us, but great new rebrand from them. But we started out talking about multi-tenant sites, and of course we talked about performance. And then, you know, the first episodes with other hosts actually happened this year, I believe. Well, I mean, there were some other WooDev chats in 2022 that had other hosts. We had some other episodes that came in, which were really cool to see. There was a chat about WordPress blocks that happened. And then in April, you and I talked with Devin Price at Universal Yums.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Universal Yums.
And they just had their biggest sales day over this Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend. Devin tweeted about it, and they had a really, really great Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, which is always nice to see. You know, they had a high throughput of orders per minute, which was, it's kind of a hard task to get a high number of orders per minute. So nice to see a company doing, you know, a large volume of orders on WooCommerce over Black Friday. And there were some really great things there, right? When we were talking about generating 10,000 orders an hour when their subscriptions renew, and selling 8 million orders.
He was talking about his database backups earlier this year, like in the post status chat too. That was like interesting. Like, database backups are always one of the most challenging things that nobody wants to think about. But when you start having gigabytes of data or a different like structure, like more tables also causes like some issues as well. So it's just like, so database backups are always a tricky thing when you start having large sites. So like how to do restores, how to do it in a timely manner. Like he was saying, like, I think for them, it takes them 24 hours before like WP Engine gets them a backup. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And then just the thought of, you know, having shipped 8 million boxes to people.
Yeah, I mean, that's another logistic thing. That's not even software. That's like just pure logistics.
That's huge scale. And, you know, I'm just really, really happy to see that team's doing as well as it is. So it was nice to get to talk with Devin some about the unique challenges that they've had as the largest subscription store that I'm aware of. And if you have a bigger subscription store, reach out. We want to talk to you. Because I think that would be awesome.
Or if you do a lot more orders per hour than 10,000, basically,
yeah,
talk to us.
Yeah, we'd love to hear about
anything scale in WooCommerce. Like yum 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 yum.
We'd love to hear about your journey and talk about like the challenges you faced. Yep,
challenges. Yeah, exactly, for sure.
So then we took May off. I don't remember what was going on, but maybe it was WordCamp Europe?
No, Europe was in
June. It was in June. So why did we take May off? I don't remember.
I forget. May seems like an eternity.
It does. It really does. But in June, we talked with Sean Conklin about blocks and full site editing.
I was in Greece at the time.
And Bob described it as us covering a lot of developer ground, and he meant a lot, which basically means somewhere along the episode we lost Bob. at some point he came back and listened to it again to be able to summarize everything, and his summary was they covered a lot.
They covered a lot. It was a lot.
So we talked about staging. We talked a little bit about AI. We talked about blocks. We talked about performance. We talked about why Woo is better than Shopify. Lots and lots of fun during that episode. And, we got to talk to Sean as a peer, and it was just, that's what we love, right? Being able to have those conversations. But the title of that episode is Block's Full Site Editing Performance and More. But the title of the page that it's on is A Full-On WooCommerce Developer Chat. So full-on. That tells you exactly how into the weeds we got. And then in July, we talked about building point of sale with the folks from Oliver POS and the journey of building a point of sale system. And then in August, we had a great conversation with Justin from A2 Hosting, where we talked about hosting and performance. And, you know, the fact that both Carl, you, and I are in the hosting space means that we do tend to talk about hosting quite a bit, right? Because it's related to performance at a deep level. And so as we go through these topics, we tend to go back and talk about hosting a lot because, you know, that ever important time to first byte and all that PHP execution is all dependent on your host, right? And so, you know, these are important metrics when you're talking about e-commerce, where every millisecond matters and every 100 milliseconds lost is a 1% reduction in sale, according to an Amazon study, right? 1% reduction in sales, if you're doing millions a month, that's a lot of money, right? And if your time to first byte is 700 milliseconds slower than your competitor, well, you don't have a lot of time to load things if you're taking, you know, a second of your time just to get the server to respond. So these are important things. And so we talked with Justin some about performance and hosting. We did that again in November when we talked about difficult Woo sites with Tom Finelli at Convessio and Ben Gabler from Rocket.net. And we talked about a little more about coding standards and plugins and what they do to affect everything that's running. And, you know, just to go back in October, we talked about the contributor orientation tool on WordPress.org and why it's so important to contribute.
Oh, yeah, with Milana and...
And Alexander, yes.
Alexander, yes.
That was a great conversation as well, just talking about how some of these tools that are part of our ecosystem get built, right?
Try to onboard more contributors.
Exactly. And so those were our episodes for the year. And, you know, as I look back, I'm really proud of what we've been able to put together over the course of 2023. We've had some great conversations, and I hope that the conversations we're having are resonating with our audience. But the only way we know if they're resonating or not is if you tell us, right?
I'll keep talking anyways until Bob cuts me off. So
me too. But, you know, if you have feedback for us, we want to hear it, even if it's bad, right? Even if it's, and there is no bad feedback. Let's just,
or guest ideas.
Yeah. There's
anything.
There is no bad feedback. If you want to tell us that Carl and I laugh too much, that's fine. We're going to keep doing it.
I've definitely had somebody tell me in my life that I smile too much. So you never know. You never know the feedback you'll get. So
it's not possible.
It's definitely possible. It's a story for another time.
But, you know, I hosted a podcast back in my rich internet application days, back when I was a Flex developer. I was a co-host of a podcast called Rhea Radio. And that was a piece of feedback we actually got from people, is that we didn't take things seriously enough. Yeah, I'm never going to be that guy. So, you know, we're going to be doing some new things. You know, we've got a new site coming for Do the Woo.
Which, yeah, it'll be easier for you to give us feedback with the new site. gets live. You can just harass Bob about it. Be like, Bob, where's the new site?
For now, just send all of your questions, comments, concerns, and presents to Bob. Everything you'd like. And if you can wait until hopefully January, maybe February, right? The site is getting relaunched, and we're going to have some great stuff on the relaunched site, including an easier way for you to give feedback. So until then, just bug Bob on all social channels at all hours of the day and night, as we will continue to do as well.
He's everywhere.
We bother him 24 hours a day. And Bob has just put in our chat here as we're recording that should be hashtag bug Bob. I like it.
Bug Bob.
Hashtag bug Bob.
Now I have to find like a little bug thing and put like hashtag bug, like bug Bob, a bearded bug with a hat.
That sounds like an upcoming sticker we need to get made for Do the Woo.
I'll just have ChatGPT to do it for me. Like,
you know, AI is an illustrator now, so we can actually go into Illustrator.
I can't wait to do, honestly, I don't have the time right now, but I can't wait to have it do like the Ymir story that I want it to do. Like, because I keep talking about like, why did it, people keep asking me why I picked the name, and I have like this whole story, and I just want to have illustrations. It'll be cool also for like swag and stuff. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, ChatGPT winner, it turned 1 year old today. Apparently, I logged in and it had a little like birthday hat. So it's like, I'm 1 year old today. So happy birthday, ChatGPT. You definitely are my MVP of 2023 for sure.
As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates. Enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com. Do you have clients who sell into or across the EU and UK? Likely you may not know about cross-border or international selling, or maybe you need to learn a little bit more, because a little knowledge goes a long ways. And with Avalara's Woo integration via Avalara's Avatox, you can help your clients focus on selling while not having to worry about determining tax rates. Even with various product types, they use automation to make VAT and sales tax calculation faster, easier, and more accurate with a built-in VAT calculation. Just go to the Woo Marketplace over on WooCommerce.com and search for Avalara's Avatox.
Who would have thought? I mean, we had Copilot in 2022, right? But
yeah, but I was never that hyped about Copilot.
Right. It's still kind of, it's a cool tool, right? But it's not like the same.
Well, apparently the new version that you can get in Visual Studio Code, like, I don't know if that's what you use. I use PHP Storm. There's a preview, or there's like the next version of it, and it has more ChatGPT like behavior in it. Like, you can have it, like, you can have it discuss code with it. But like, for me, it's always been kind of like just a really handy, but it's an autocomplete, so it wasn't really good for me.
You have to start it, right? If starting is your problem, then, well, it's not as helpful as it could be.
Yeah. I mean, my goal for 2024, I already talked to one of the organizers for WordCamp Asia, so they kind of like added me in like as a organizer recommendation, but like I want to do a talk on like how to use ChatGPT like effectively. I will probably apply to WordCamp Europe with that topic, but I think it's really important because a lot of people are like, I don't know how to use this. Like, this seems like underwhelming to me. And I'm like, this is like the best $20 I spent each month. Like, you know, like it's like for value, like it's like, I use it all the time. Like my Googling went down to like, for actual work, my Googling went down like 95%. Like it's mostly now I Google things to just make sure that ChatGPT like didn't like get something wrong or something like that. But otherwise, like I just don't even use it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not quite as far down the ChatGPT rabbit hole as a lot of my peers, though I do use it. I've been using AI more on the creative side, and we'll have to talk some about just the impact of AI across everything at some point. Maybe that's a good January episode for us. And we should bring on somebody who has built maybe an AI plugin for WordPress. That would be kind of a cool topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have a couple of guest suggestions also coming. So, but yeah, I agree. But even for me, like it's more for creative work, like because like programming is a creative like solution building tool, and that's like kind of how I use it more than as, because I think people get this point and they're like, ChatGPT, like build me a website, and then it does a pretty average job at it. But if you use it as a kind of like as a creative tool, as opposed to just like do my work for me tool, which I'm sure maybe ChatGPT-5 or something will get to that point. But like one of the things that I think resonated the most with me, like I listened to a podcast and they were saying like ChatGPT is like kind of like having like 1,000 interns basically work for you. But they're not the best interns. So if you're really already an expert in something, ChatGPT will not make you like a much better expert at something that you're in. But if you're like me, I'm a generalist. Like I always wanted to do a generalist versus specialist like programmer thing. But I touch like a lot of, and if you're trying to level up your skill, like ChatGPT will level you up to a much more closer to average at things that you're not that as good at. Like, you know, for me, for example, I don't do as much JavaScript daily. So like I use ChatGPT a lot for that, or I use ChatGPT for design, like to start talking about design, like how would you design a solution to do this? And then we talk a bit and then I get ideas with that. But that's kind of what I want to talk with people, because I think people want to use it as just like free Fiverr basically.
Yeah, and that's not what it is, right? It's
not what it is right now. It's not what it is right now. So
it's not an engineer, it's a researcher, right?
Yeah, or it's like your pair programmer. Like the way I best describe using ChatGPT is like pair programming, except you're both the driver and the passenger, but it's like basically working with somebody next to you who can do like, hey, how would you do this? And then you ask the passenger, right? Like in pair programming, they have this analogy of the driver versus the passenger. So the driver is the one writing code, and then the passenger is the one like looking that you're doing everything correctly, or just like looking up documentation. So if you use ChatGPT more as a passenger, then it's really handy for that. So those are all things that I want to cover, because I think there's some interest, and it's in all our best interest to level up the WordPress communities, the developers, so that we can do more. Then we can be closer to Laravel. We've gone full circle, Zach.
I mean, we don't need to go much further than that. Yeah, I think that It's been an interesting year because who would have thought that 2023 would be the year of crafting prompts and understanding how to properly.
But that was like just such a short period. It's true though. Like I forgot, like at the beginning of 2023 it was all like prompt engineer is the job of the future, and then ChatGPT-4 comes out and it's like, nah, you don't need prompt engineering. I mean, you need it for research, like for security research. Like I just saw an article come out where they managed to get to prompt ChatGPT to like leak like training data.
Oh wow.
I mean, it's kind of wild, like for like all the hackers and I love hackers, like talking to them, like their brain works so different. But yeah, no. But I remember at the beginning, you're right, at the beginning of 2023, it's like prompt engineer, how to get like Midjourney to get that perfect image.
Exactly. Like what flags do I need to use to get this thing to be exactly the way I want it to be?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, prompt engineering still matters, right? The way you craft your prompt does matter because it can lead to deeper results, right? You can create a prompt that generates multiple variations on an answer just by creating the prompt correctly.
Yeah. Or there was like something that came out like a month ago. Basically, ChatGPT gave better answers if you made it feel like you were in duress, basically. Like said something like, I need this or I'll get fired. Or no, but it's true. Like if you made it seem like you were in some sort of duress, it didn't have to be something as drastic as you'll get fired. But it's like, this is really stressing me out. Like, I don't think I can do this. It would just give you a much better answer, which I thought was like, it's crazy. Basically, I don't really use that trick, but it's, yeah, like if you do better prompts, you'll get better answers for sure.
Right. Like the guy who created an entire e-commerce business based on just what ChatGPT told him to do. And he was using, you know, prompt crafting to create this world where ChatGPT was treating itself as an e-commerce expert, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, so a lot of people do that. Like they write like a really long prompt. They like set it up. Like I've done that a couple of times where I'm like, okay, think as if you were, you know, a corporate lawyer or something like that. Like help me like understand this stuff. But yeah, it's crazy. What I would be curious to see with them is like what I struggle with is like it loses the plot after a while. So they call that context, basically. It loses, like, it only has, like, a certain context window. So I'm always, like, interested, like, the people that, like, do a lot of, like, the stuff, like, over a long period of time, like, how they manage to, like, keep it to it within context, you know? Like, so it doesn't, like...
It is crazy. And then...
Yeah, so that's what I'd find interesting to learn about.
That and hallucinations, right?
Yeah. I feel it's getting better at that, like...
It is, but it's still crazy that that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't suffered too many hallucinations lately. I feel like it's getting a bit better at that.
It's not making things up as frequently.
As frequently. Even for the coding stuff, like I remember like this summer, I had to I would look at stuff and I'm like, this seems, I'll try it, but like this seems like it won't work. Like, and sometimes I would just catch it outright. I was like, no, I know this won't work. And it'd be like, my apologies. And, you know, my apologies. Here's the correct answer. And it's like,
yeah, it suddenly corrects itself.
But that's why they're interns, right? It's 1,000 interns, right? So if you craft a really, like, if you give an intern a 3-sentence thing to do, you'll get a 3-sentence job out of the intern, right? But if you like write a detailed thing, that's like one of the misunderstood things about interns. It's like, oh, I got this slave, I just can tell it to do whatever I want and I'll get good output. But it's you're managing someone, so like the input you give them impacts the output you'll get out of them. So ChatGPT is like a lot like that. So it's just really, I love it. It's like, I'm the biggest fan. Well, you know, without getting to all the doomer stuff, like I generally appreciate it for my work. I feel like I can't think of a tool that's come out in like my career that has had such a significant impact on me, because it, like, I do generalist work, right? Like, I do full stack, like cloud auditing, like all this stuff, cloud architecture. And it's just like, sometimes it's just, you spend so much time just digging through things to just, like, you know what you're trying to do, but you're like spending so much time digging through things. Like, having access to somebody that like basically has like encyclopedic knowledge of things and be like, okay, like, I'm trying to do this with this service. Like, like, how do I do this again? Like, it just saves me so much time just digging through things and trying to find the right Stack Overflow question that was at, like, on Google to like get the answer that I need. Like, oh my God. Like, it's so, for me, it's been a really transformational tool for me. Like, that's why, like, I don't even rank, like, if you had to make me cut one Copilot or ChatGPT, I would cut Copilot without even, like, before the sentence even ended, basically. I would say, like, Copilot.
Well, and so we'll save the rest of that discussion for when we have an episode about AI, but it was definitely a theme of 2023, so we wanted to touch on it here.
Yeah. I'm still curious how it used. I want to do an episode just to get a pulse of, like, how much it's used within the WordPress community. Like, because it's, I feel like it's not that widespread, basically, is, it would be my educated guess, but it was like I'm not 100% sure.
Well,
I think a lot of people don't want to pay for it, so they use 3.5 and then they're like, this is really average, and then they don't try it. But it's like, it's so different between like 4 and the 3.5. like, it's not, I remember trying 3.5, I'm like, this is trash. This is like trash. Like, I don't this doesn't do anything for me. But once I started using 4, completely different experience for me. Once, but just my experience in Tokyo when I was at the Google office working, it was on every screen.
Oh, of course. And here's the thing, right? I think it's more widespread in the WordPress community than we think it is, because, you know, I was at Troy Dean's MavCon event in Fairfax, Virginia, and one of the sessions that he ran was,
that was like last month, right?
A couple months ago, yeah. One of the sessions that he ran was on using ChatGPT to augment, you know, your knowledge base, right? To train ChatGPT on your knowledge base for your company, so that it becomes an expert on all things your company and can answer questions for people.
Yeah, those are things I haven't experimented with yet, because that's relatively new. Like, you can ask ChatGPT to create a GPT for like a specific thing. Like, you can feed it like a couple of PDFs or just train it to, like, somebody was saying, like, they read a lot of research papers, so they wanted a GPT that could like scan like research papers and give them the highlight of things. But yeah, like, you could definitely have something like that as well for internal companies. GPTs on your documentation.
Even having it be an external facing tool. Like, let's say you want your support chatbot to be able to answer every question about anything that could possibly happen that a customer could have a question about based on the internal knowledge base that has been created for how to answer those questions, right? So, for example, when I worked support at Apple, Apple has tens of thousands of knowledge base articles, right? If you were able to train ChatGPT on that entire knowledge base of articles that have been created by Apple engineers over the years, you would have a chat bot at that point that could answer questions about everything from how to write something in, you know, objective C to how to turn off your iPhone, because there are knowledge base articles on all of those things. So very impressive what it can do with a private set of data like that and turning it into just an encyclopedia about your company and a way to access it that feels human, right? So it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm always on the lookout for how people are using it, essentially. Like, that's what I find interesting as well, like thinking of use cases that you might not have thought about.
Okay, so we're obviously going to do an AI episode next year.
AI in development episode. We probably have other AI topics, but definitely AI in development. I mean, I want to talk about it. Like I said, I'm going to apply to work camps with that.
Well, why don't we put a poll out there? Bob said that he'll do this for us. So
yeah, he'll do a poll.
Let's put a poll out there about what types of things people might want to hear about. And if you are doing...
Or if you're using AI.
Yeah, if you're doing a lot with AI.
If you're using ChatGPT-4.
Yep. And Bob is saying maybe we can have some people leave some audio snippets of things they're doing with AI that we could talk about on the show as well, and just bring you into the show with us. I think that would be great. But have it be more of a community focused thing. And so we're going to talk about this over the next month or so, and talk with all of you about what it is you want to hear.
The next years.
AI is not going anywhere, right? Just like Sam Altman didn't go anywhere. He just took a few day break. And we will definitely be talking about this in the near future. But let's switch gears again just for a little while. And let's talk about people we'd like to bring on as guests. So if we had our choice of dream guests for 2024, who would we want to bring? And I'm just going to start right at the top because I know he's going to say no. And he's said no a million times already. And he'll probably continue to say no, but I would love to get Mike Jolly to come on and do a dev chat with us.
Who's Mike Jolly?
So he was one of the two engineers that started WooCommerce at WooThemes.
Okay.
Mike would be great, but I'm open to other people from the Woo team that are in similar roles, because I know it's not just Mike. Yeah, he's still there. And he also wrote WP Job Manager. That's one of his plugins that became an automatic plugin during the acquisition. You know, great dude. Lots of great stuff that he's built over the years. And I think it'd be a lot of fun to have him on. You know, as he told me, he's not the podcast guy, right? That's not his thing. But it wasn't my thing before I started doing it. Carl, was it your thing before you started doing it?
I think I knew I would be okay at podcasting because I'm a bit chatty.
No,
I'm a slight chatter. I'm a slight chatster, but I don't know if I'm. I think what held me back before, and I still think today, is just like I don't think I'm the best podcast host. Like I just like I'm. I think that's a different skill. It's hard with my ADHD. Like I'm trying to get better at it, but.
You don't have to be the best. That's
I think that was what kept me away from podcasting and all the editing and stuff. I mean, luckily we have Bob. Basically, Bob does all the things that I don't want to do about. I just wrangle guests. Basically, we wrangle guests. We do the networking thing. We bring people in.
Yep, and then I think that's important too. But having Bob as a support to make sure that all of this happens and to keep us on track and organized and make sure we show up at the right time to record these has been immensely helpful. And, you know, every podcast needs somebody to produce, right? And Bob is a great person for that producer role. And he's been invaluable into making the show a reality and making sure it continues, because if that were just up to me, probably wouldn't be as effective as it is. So let's all thank Bob. So that's hashtag thank Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Don't forget to bug Bob, but also thank Bob.
Yes, so we have hashtag bug Bob and hashtag thank Bob. So, Carl, any guests that you would love to bring in?
I've been working on somebody that usually says no, but said yes. There's like Tom McFarlane, although I don't know if it'll be like for a dev chat personally, but we wanted to talk a bit about, I mean, I don't want to reopen the ChatGPT can of worm, but basically we used to write a lot of content. How ChatGPT is kind of changing the landscape of writing technical articles. Should you even do it? Is there really a market for that? Ties in a bit to like kind of like the SEO hellscape that is like basically Google now. But I think for specifically for Woo, I don't have anybody in mind because like I don't have as much like networking around that as you do, but I just would like to talk to more people doing cool stuff like scale. Like I think, you know, like one of the trends with Emir is I just want to do really epic things. Like, you know, AWS just announced that they 12x the scaling with Lambda. So now you can add basically 100 PHP workers a second with this. And I'm just like looking for people that are just like hungry to just like, take on like the Magentos and the BigCommerce and like take on these like large projects, like whether it's like large SKUs, large like order volume, like we were talking like at the beginning with Universal Yums. Like I just like I find those things challenges interesting because like I like to know like what is breaking, right? Like, you know, where are the wheels, you know, like in cartoons, like you see the machine like starting to like there's like smoke coming out, there's a couple of gears flying out. Like I like learning about those things. And even though it's not necessarily applicable to everybody, but I think there's lessons to learn even for all developers, because even though they're at a massive scale, it just teaches you about how to be a better developer, how to diagnose issues, even if they're I find that that's really interesting to get the insight out of people for that.
I think that's really cool. The other thing I want to focus on some is getting into more conversations about just enterprise WordPress in general. So really big installations of WordPress. And I think
I might have a guest for us for that actually eventually. Actually, they're in stealth mode, so I can't talk about them. But basically, like there's a startup that's doing something really crazy around that. So that'd be fun to have them come on.
Well, and I think that will be...
Bob says it's already there. Yeah. So powering enterprise with Woo and WordPress. So yeah, that's true. I forgot. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
But I think there's a huge interest from agencies and just bringing in, like, making open source, expanding the umbrella of what WordPress can do. Because, you know, like, how you market to big companies is very different than how you market to medium-sized companies or small businesses. So it's a very different ballgame. And there's a lot of interest in that, and there's a lot of opportunity because there's not a lot of open source products, alternatives to like the Magentos / Adobe Commerce or the BigCommerce or Sitecore. Is that Sitecore?
Yep, Sitecore, Adobe Experience Manager. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all the what they have traditionally called digital experience platforms. But I think we could definitely talk about how we compete, you know, as developers in open source versus closed ecosystems, right?
Yeah, or when it's like developing in an enterprise environment, like, you know, what do you need? What expect, like, workflow expectations happen? I mean, for me, that's one of the challenges with Emir. Like, it's just, it's a more enterprisey workflow, and people are like, wait, I can't do these things? And it's like, no. Like, my favorite one is, like, you know, the White House site is WordPress, and I tell them, like, you know, Joe Biden can't go and install, like, Hello Dolly on the White House site. You know, this is not how things work when you work in those enterprise environments, right? Like, so how to be an enterprise developer is a really broad topic, or it's a different experience, and it's worth discussing it for people that don't necessarily know, like, how it works or are used to certain things. So that's definitely something we should do, actually. Now that I'm, like, thinking about it, like, I'm like,
we'll put a spin on it and make it fit the dev chat model. So Bob, there you go. We'll have a dev chat about enterprise development workflows. I think that's a great one. And some of the unique challenges when you're building things that have to scale at that level and that have to work all the time, no matter what. So that would be a really cool episode. But really, the most important thing is what you as listeners want to hear. So if you have topic ideas, again, hashtag bug Bob, we're going to have you.
Best part of this episode.
We're gonna have you bug Bob with what you want to
Hashtag bug Bob, best discovery of this episode. Take it away.
Absolutely. We're gonna have you bug Bob with what you want to hear about. If you have ideas for people who could be a guest, even if that idea is yourself, please reach out to Bob, let him know. And
if you'd like to sponsor also the WooDev, hashtag bug Bob, hashtag bug Bob, you know.
Yeah, we are definitely looking for sponsors for the dev chats. So if your audience is developers and you want to speak to our audience in a way that is only possible by, well, being a part of what it is we do here on the WooDev chats, talk to Bob, hashtag bug Bob, and get in there,
hashtag bug Bob,
and talk to him about sponsoring this insanity we call the Woo Dev Chat that happens every month.
Love it.
With a few exceptions here and there, but yeah, we'd love to have some sponsors get involved with what we do here. We want to grow what we do and serve our developer community. And, you know, I realize that, you know, Bob's mission of helping builders means builders of all types, right? And we serve the, you know, the people who are trying to level up. And that's been my goal the whole time, right? We want people to be able to level up, to learn more about this side of what it is to be in the WooCommerce space. And, you know, building solutions that can scale, that consider things like the things we talk about. So we want to continue bringing episodes like this to you. And the best way to help make sure that that continues to happen is to become a sponsor. So just hashtag bug Bob and tell him about the monies you want to give him. Monies, all of them. Apart from that, you know, it's been a pleasure serving all of you as your co-hosts for the Do the Woo Dev Chats. We love being a part of this community. I find it enriching, and you know, it's something I look forward to every month. Carl, I think you probably feel the same way.
Of course, do it from all over the planet. You know, even in the middle of the night, even in the middle of the night in Japan. So definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, You know, it is something I look forward to every month, and I hope that you feel the same way as listeners. If you have any feedback, again, hashtag BugBob. We're going to make this a thing that will stick forever, so hashtag BugBob. And with that, we want to wish you all a great holiday season. We may be back in some form next month for a Do the Woo episode, but I think we're taking December off from the Woo Dev Chat, and we'll be back with you in January. So unless something really drastic happens, and in which case we will be here to record an episode if it's needed. So, but we appreciate all of you who listen to us babble on about the things we love and that we're passionate about. And hope that some of that passion brings you into places you haven't been before. So thank you for going on this journey with us.
Yeah, thank you. And see you next year.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Zach and Carl, for a year of Woo Dev Chat. I give them a bad time, but I love these two guys and cannot wait to see what they come up with in 2024. And as I mentioned, if you're interested in being on the show or sponsoring, remember, hashtag BugBob on Twitter or X or whatever you call it. I have a feeling I may regret the day that was ever mentioned, but hey, BugBob, that's a hashtag. And of course, thanks to Avalara and Hostinger for their support throughout 2024. If you run into either of their teams at a WordCamp, please thank them personally for their support of this community. And watch for our end of the year chat wrap up coming later this month with some hosts and myself. If you'd like to leave an audio comment or question that we'll play on that show, and heck, we could even have some fun with it, just go to dothewoo.io/voices. So until the next time,